Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for meditation this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7 and verses 11 through 16. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Thus far, our text. In the name of Jesus, who is our captain in this journey we call life, dear fellow redeemed. How do you identify? What is your political affiliation? Are you part of a church? Are you single, married, divorced? I'm sure many of you have had thoughts run through your mind of someone asking you those exact questions at one point or another. Each one of those questions and countless others are common in today's world. It seems like we live in a time where you have to belong to some sort of classification or grouping. And while there's nothing wrong with having differences, it can very easily get in the way of our relationships with each other, muddling the waters of the unity that we share here at church. It seems like the longer the world goes on, the more divided it becomes. To a certain extent, that's true. Yet, even in the days of Paul, there were divisions. And these divisions weren't just about which political candidate one person preferred to another, or what profession they were in. No, these divisions threatened the very unity of the church. In Corinth, Paul had to deal with people who thought that they were better Christians because they said, well, I'm converted by Paul. I belong to Peter. I belong to Apollos. Well, I belong to Jesus. This caused major divisions within the church, and it necessitated a strong response from Paul in his letter to the Corinthians. Our text this morning also deals with unity, but Paul isn't addressing any one particular difference or disagreement within the church. Rather, he is urging, encouraging the people to find their way forward in Christ. Their unity of faith under the one true God was something that far surpassed any differences they might have in their lives. Together as a congregation, their unity makes them strong to withstand the divisive attacks of Satan. But more importantly, the unity that they share, that all Christians share in the Holy Christian Church, one that is to hold fast to, it's impossible to break because the Lord, our Savior Jesus, holds it together by the blood he shed for our sins. The first question to answer is this. Why does Paul feel the need to speak on unity in the first place? Well, the short answer is because of sin. Sin is the opposite of unity. It was what separated the perfect union God shared with Adam and Eve. It separated them and us from perfect holiness. But even after sin entered the world, people, more or less, got along. That is, until the Tower of Babel. In Genesis, we are told that the people disobeyed God's command to spread out and fill the earth following the flood. Instead, they gathered together in order to build a tower to reach the heavens to the glory of man and not God. As a result, God confused their languages and forced them to spread out. And ever since the Tower of Babel, the world has been deeply divided. The Jews call all non-Jews Gentiles. The Romans called all non-Romans barbarians. Hitler claimed the Aryan race was a master race. And there still are white supremacists. There are still major divisions based on parentage or skin color. That is the way that it has been ever since God confused the languages at Babel and caused the people to look at each other with suspicion and disdain. And that is the way that it will continue to be until the end of time. Even today, you could see the same sentiment on a wide range of topics. If you don't conform to one person's belief, well, you might just be the devil or the scum of the earth. So how can we find a way forward? How can we navigate this violent animosity to those who want to abide by the principles of Scripture and not fall for the wayward musings of a sinful world around us? Well, to start, God reminds us of the unity that only He can provide in the Holy Christian Church. Here, it is not race against race, majority versus minority, nation against nation. Here, there is unity created by the Holy Spirit. There is no separate Jew, Gentile, white, black, American, Hispanic, Baptist, Catholic, or Lutheran Christian church. There is one body, the body of Christ. It is created by one Spirit. And each person who is called by the one Spirit is called to the one and same hope. Each one called by God, regardless of age, racial, national, educational, or economic background. Each one is called to the hope of eternal life. There are no national boundaries, no segregation policies, no wrong side of the tracks. Then there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Contrary to what you see on things like the coexist stickers on the bumper of cars, there are no other faiths than the one faith in Jesus as Savior from sin. The pathway to heaven is exclusive. But that is not the same thing as divisive. In fact, it is quite the opposite. Nothing has united more people from differing backgrounds than that exclusive path to heaven through Jesus Christ. It was true in Jesus' day. From high society people like Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea to lepers and prostitutes, these were all equals because they shared the one faith that could actually save them. In the Holy Christian Church, there is no differing opinion. Through the Holy Spirit, all members confess that they are a sinner who has disobeyed God's law, is worthy of His condemnation, but who is saved solely by the grace of God through the sacrifice of Jesus. That is a one true faith. There is one baptism. Baptism goes beyond the actions of a person. It is an action of God. For that reason, it is what creates faith in the hearts of infants and little children and seals that same faith for adults. There are not Baptist or Catholic or Lutheran baptism. There is God's baptism that saves. Finally, there is one God and Father of all. Everyone who shares this one faith has the same, also has one Father by whom they were adopted as sons and daughters. One Father who is over all things for the sake of His children. One Father who fills all things with His grace and power. One Father who has made His dwelling place with His people through His word. This is the first and most important way to we find a way forward in Christ. We are reminded of the incredible, unalterable unity that we share with Christians across the world. This unity that transcends any differences, but firmly holds on to Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now, while the Holy Christian Church is unchangeable and its unity will never falter, the same cannot be said about the small C church or our congregations. We must deal with the fact that we still have our sinful flesh. Our congregation does change, and our unity can falter. Disagreements can arise between members. That's why Paul urges every individual Christian, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Every church is comprised of sinful people. The longer you are a member, the greater the potential for disrupting the unity. Sooner or later, someone's going to say something in Bible class, a voters' meeting, or women's group that will hit you the wrong way. The danger is that you don't forget it. Every time you see that person, you will think of that one remark that they made. Maybe it's a business deal that went sour. As fellow Christians, you enter into it with the best of intentions. You wanted to help out one another, but things went wrong. Instead of solving the matter by seeking or offering forgiveness, you try to ignore it, but it doesn't go away. There are thousands of variations of this problem, how the unity of a congregation can be destroyed by sin. But remember, we are all united by the bond of peace that God Himself has created among us. The bond of peace brings together like-minded Christians around His Word and leads them to be lowly and gentle, long-suffering or patient, to bear with one another in love. Instead of looking toward your fellow Christian with suspicion or animosity, the Lord wants us to be humble and gentle toward one another, looking for ways to help, to support, and to encourage them. If you can keep the peace by giving into what someone else wants, and that doesn't violate God's word, then by all means, swallow your pride and move forward. If someone is lonely or sick or shut in, then show your concern by making a call, sending a note or stopping by for a visit. If a fellow Christian has strayed into sin, then go privately and talk to them about it in a caring and loving way. This love, this concern and consideration for our Christian brothers and sisters is our bond of peace, is what holds congregations together. But finding a way forward in Christ isn't easy to do. We are so different from each other. Personalities clash, opinions strike a nerve. But for that reason, God doesn't leave us to our own devices. He gives us a blueprint to find that bond of peace we so desperately need. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Speaking the truth in love is easier said than done. How excited do you really get to tell your brother or sister in Christ about their sin and that they should repent? Not very. Me neither. It is a difficult thing to chastise someone, and we see that especially when it comes to parenting. And yet, as in parenting, it could be the most loving thing that you can do for that person. Reaching out to them about their sin, but not leaving them out to dry. Reminding them of the great love Jesus had for them and you, that He died to pay for your sins. When we seek God's forgiveness, He is overjoyed to forgive in abundance. Building each other up in the love of God and His grace is a surefire way to strengthen the unity that God has called us to have. Have you ever heard the saying, iron sharpens iron? Well, it's actually from the Bible. Proverbs 27, to be exact. And the point behind this proverb is that two people should continue to shape and strengthen one another through their interactions. If there were no benefits to having a congregation, God would have warned us in Scripture not to gather together. Instead, He says the opposite. He encourages us to gather, to come together in unity of faith, despite our sinfulness that tries to get in the way. The person sitting next to you, across from you, behind you, in front of you, they are the iron that is to sharpen you and your unity together in faith. Will there be clashes at times? Yes, that is inevitable. Nevertheless, we remember to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You want to find a path forward through this divisive and tumultuous world? You have it right here. Joined together in one faith under one Lord, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please rise. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.